God is here.
Good morning, and welcome to FOJC Radio Church. Grab your Bible and your pens and your paper, and when two or three are gathered in His name, the Lord is right here with us. So thank you for joining us, and here's Brother David.
Secret pain, pretending and inventing just to hide your shame. Plastic smiles and faces, blinking back the tears, empty frames and places, a magnifier fears. If you're tired of me, we can hug it later. I can understand how it feels to be alone. I will take your burden if you let me love you. Wrap my arms around you, give your heart a home. It hurts to watch you struggle and try so hard to win. Betrayed your precious birthright for candy-coated sin. Where's your precious moment? Reckless and confused, building up defenses for fear that you'll be used. If you're tired and weak, we can have it later. I can understand how it feels to be alone. I will take your burden if you let me love you. Wrap my arms around you, give your heart a home. Upon you and walk over my side. Let me hear your heartaches and dry the tears you've cried. Never will I leave you, never turn away. Keep you through the darkness, lead you through the day. If you're tired and weary, we can have it later. I can understand how it feels to be alone. I will take your burden if you let me love you. Wrap my arms around you, give your heart a home. Wrap my arms around you, give your heart a home.
Praise the Lord. And welcome back to hour number two of FOJC Radio Church. And we just want to tell you how much we appreciate each and every one of you that study the Word of God with us. And I know that we have listeners that do want to earnestly contend for the faith that is once delivered. And what, Donna? But we want to earnestly contend for the faith that's once delivered. We know that that's your heart too. And I want to tell you how much that I appreciate that. I really, really do. And if it wasn't for our listeners, we could not do what we do. So thank you so very, very much. Now, I want us to turn in our Bibles to Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. And I tell you, time is just flying this morning. Time is just flying by, and I want to give us plenty of time to be able to take the Passover and enter, partake of the Passover and enter into His presence this morning. So a few more things I want to say. There's so much material here because, there's every one of these writers agrees with what we're saying. You cannot find a hint of these apostate doctrines, of their major ones there. And I mean, it's just, they all believed that they were going to, that the church would face the beast in the last days. Every one of them, without exception. Now, in Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And I heard one of the rapture teachers this week say that it can't be a blessed hope if you're going to believe that you're going to face the beast. And he's just never read these early writers, because Justin Martyr, he said that, boy, you can torture us, you can cut our heads off, you can throw us to the beasts, do what you will. You will never defeat the Church of the Living God. And this is the faith that will endure unto the end. Now, I want to read a couple comments on this from a man by the name of Cyprian. And I'm going to give these, this is from Volume 5 of the Apostolic Fathers, and it's found on page 349. And Cyprian was born, he is one of the 3rd century writers. He died in 258 AD, and his ministry was in Carthage, which is in northern Africa. And I want to read something that he said that is certainly worth reading. And this is on page 349. And he says this concerning the coming persecution and the mark of the beast. He says that, and this would be, this would be as timely if he would teach this right now as he did then. Listen to his words. Nor let any one of you, beloved brethren, be so terrified by the fear of future persecution or the coming of the threatening Antichrist as not to be found armed for all things by the evangelical exhortations and precepts and by the heavenly warnings. Now, how far have we come to saying, oh, it ain't a blessed hope if we have to worry about facing the beast? Nor let any one of you, beloved brethren, be so terrified by the fear of future persecution or the coming of the threatening Antichrist as not to be found armed for all things by the evangelical or exhortations and precepts and by the heavenly warnings. Antichrist is coming, but above him comes Christ also. Amen. The enemy goeth about and rageth, but immediately the Lord follows to avenge our sufferings and our wounds. Now, once again, something you get in every one of these, they do not preach the return of the Lord without those signs that will precede it that we are to watch for. The Lord is coming. You know, the Antichrist is coming, but the Lord is coming also. That has been replaced in the modern church by, we're not looking for Jesus, for Antichrist. We're looking for Jesus Christ. We're out of here, baby. You know? I mean, it's a nonsensical, goofy faith that is, I mean, and it's dangerous. It's dangerous because right now, on April 13th, 2014, we need to have the faith that was once delivered to the saints that is going to take us through. He goes on, the adversary is enraged and threatens, but there is one who can deliver us from his hands. Amen? He is to be feared, whose anger no one can escape. As he himself forewarns and says, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. And again, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. And in the Apocalypse he instructs and forewarns, saying, if any man worships the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God mixed in the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of the torment shall ascend up forever and ever, and they shall have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image. That's the kind of preaching we need today. We have dingbats today teaching that you can actually take the mark of the beast and repent and be forgiven for it. That's an absolute lie. And there are actually people that are teaching that because of once saved, always saved, that you can take the mark of the beast and not be lost. These are just absolute dangerous lies that have to be exposed because they can steal our soul. And Donna just handed me a thing. A servant Mark informs us that there was a video game called Titanfall released last year. And, I mean, these things are the things that come out in the video games and the things that come out in Hollywood, they are to prepare us for things to come. And right now, you can learn more from Hollywood about what's coming than you can most of these pulpits. Now, let's look at Revelation chapter 13 and verse 7. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 7. And I know I got a little bit of attitude this morning. Got a little bit of attitude. I'm really, really aggravated at this apostate church this morning because they are going to cause people to be lost. And whatever I could do this morning to cause someone to examine what they're believing, I would do it. And it's time to hit the old mule upside the head with the board and get its attention. Now, Revelation 13:7, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Now, the Bible's pretty clear, isn't it? And it's speaking of the beast, Revelation 13. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. And that means just what it says. And it doesn't matter how many preachers say that the saints are going to be gone. The Bible says the beast is going to make war with the saints. Now, I want to read something from a man by the name of Hippolytus. He lived between the years 170 AD. He was born about 70 years after the Apostle John died, and he died in the year 236 AD. And from the Apostolic Fathers, Volume 5, page 217. Let's read his words. Now concerning the tribulation of the persecution which is to fall upon the church from the adversary, John also speaks thus: And to the woman were given two wings of the great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half time from the face of the serpent. This refers to the 1,260 days during which the tyrant is to reign and persecute the church. That's what we need to say to people today, that tyrant is coming to persecute you. And your faith better not be in Disneyland. It better be in the Word of God. And it better be in the faith once delivered, because this thing is coming. There, we saw a glimpse of that this week, didn't we? And there's going to be a day come. And you know what I believe this thing in Nevada was? I believe it was a test. I believe it was a test to see just what people would do. But there's going to be a time when they're going to start pushing, and they're not going to stop. And I don't think that day is too far away, and I think anybody that will take any kind of an intelligent look at things is going to agree. Now, I want us to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I want us to read the classic. And, you know, I hate to even call this the rapture passage. This is what they twist into the rapture. This is the passage about the parousia, the return of the Lord. And after I read a couple things here from this fella, Tertullian, we're going to take a break and prepare ourselves to take the Lord's Supper this morning. Now, Tertullian is a very, very interesting fellow, and he actually is the one that talks about the original writings of the apostles being in the churches in his days. And he talks about he says, come now, you would indulge a better curiosity if you would apply it to the business of your salvation. Run over the apostolic churches in which the very thrones of the apostles are still preeminent in their places, in which their own authentic writings are read, uttering the voice, and that word is authentikia, their own original writings, the autographs, the original writings of Paul. It says, uttering the voice and representing the face of each of them severally, Achaia is very near you, in which you find Corinth. Since you are not far from Macedonia, you have Philippi, and there too you have the Thessalonians. And since you are able to cross to Asia, you get Ephesus. Since, moreover, you are close upon Italy, you have Rome. And he's saying, you can go to these places, and if you want to check it out, you can go there, and they still had the original handwritten letters of Paul. And this was in the 2nd century. So for a long time, these churches had there. I mean, then Tertullian was telling them, just like I'm telling you this morning, that you can earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, and that you can check it out. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And this is a great comfort, that the Lord will return, and He will return when the beast is persecuting the church, and He will defeat the beast, and He will give us the faith to go through this time and to live for the Lord. And if we should die, and you know, we're all going to die unless we live to the time when the Lord comes and we're changed. And what better way to die than a martyr? Wouldn't you rather die as a martyr than cancer or heart attack? And I'm not being morbid, I'm just being realistic. I mean, I would much rather die as a martyr than any way I can think of as a martyr. Excuse me, I'm getting my tongue over my eye teeth this morning a little bit. But this is what they taught, and this is what they believed. And what I think I'm going to do this morning, I tell you what, I have got so many of these, and they all just say the same thing. And they're dynamic, and they're inspiring, but, and also, I tell you, there's, you know, a lot of people, when I teach that this thousand-year reign, and millennial reign is also a false doctrine. Boy, a lot of people really, oh, what in the world is that? But I've got Tertullian's teaching on that, and he refuted the heretics that tried to teach that. And he also, and I could go to the first commentary ever written on the book of Revelation, and a lot of things I could say, but we just are not going to have time. I want to give us plenty of time this morning to enter into the presence of God and keep that Passover together. So what I want us to do, we'll want to take a break, and Donna's going to play a song, and I want you to get your elements ready. I want you to get your grape juice or your wine. The Bible says fruit of the vine, and if you use wine, use one part wine and two parts water. And this was the way that the early church did. And have your unleavened bread, which could be a matzah or a cracker, and get ready to celebrate together with your brothers and sisters that have like precious faith. Let's keep the Passover together. So we're going to take a break, and we're going to come right back, and we're going to do that very thing. We'll be right back on FOJC Radio Church.
You're the only one.
Amen. Let's read in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, and let's begin in verse 15. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And it's very important for us to understand that we are eating the Passover, that the Passover was for an eternal ordinance, and that we are now celebrating the feast of Passover with Christ. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. And as we understand that we are keeping the Passover this morning, and that we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes, and in light of his coming, that just as the Israelites believed that the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost protected them from the destroyer, as we partake of the blood of Christ this morning, that we believe that that blood on our lives will protect us from the destroyer that is going to return. And as we preach the death of Christ until he returns, we preach with that death, as the early church did, that the church will suffer at the hands of the beast before our Lord returns and destroys that wicked one and casts him with Satan and the false prophet into the lake of fire. Now I want to read the comment that Tertullian made on this passage. Tertullian was one of the church fathers. He was born in 160 AD and he died in 225. He was in northern Africa, and much of his ministry was in Carthage in North Africa. And one of the things that the Catholic Church will tell you, and if you've ever encountered these people, we had some Roman Catholics come into one of our conferences one time, and these were Roman Catholic apologists, and one of the things they said, and it shook some people up, is that every one of the early fathers taught transubstantiation. And that is just a lie. Once again, that's just a lie that preys upon people that are uninformed or can't find out the facts. And Tertullian did not believe in transubstantiation. I'm going to read what he said. He said, he made it his own body by saying, this is my body. That is the figure of my body. Not literally his body, but a figure of the body. A figure, however, there could not have been unless there were first a veritable body. And he taught against the Gnostics that Jesus Christ did become incarnate, have a real body, and that when we partake of the bread, that it's a figure of his real body. He continues, he says, in order, however, that you may discover how anciently wine is used as a figure for blood, turn to Isaiah, who asks, who is this that cometh from Edom, from Bosar, with garments dyed in red, so glorious in apparel, in the greatness of his might? Why are thy garments red and thy raiment as he who cometh from treading the full wine press? He says further, thus did he now consecrate his blood in wine, who then by the patriarch used the figure of wine to describe his blood. And clearly Tertullian did not teach that the body and blood actually became his real body and his real blood, which would be cannibalism, wouldn't it? And the Bible strictly forbids the drinking of blood. But he clearly taught that the bread and the wine were a figure and a symbol of the body and blood of Christ, as we teach and believe, and I could give others. So when the Roman Catholics try to tell you, and there is one of the most significant Christian writers from the second century, so when they try to tell you this, just say, uh-uh, that is just not true. And I could go on here. That's just one. But it's just not true. And if you check it out, you will find it very quickly that it is not true. We need to have our faith grounded in truth and not fantasy. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And what we're going to do this morning is the theme of our message this morning. Before we partake together of the Passover, we are going to do, as the Word of God admonishes us, we are going to examine ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man so examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And that's truly what we'd want to do this morning. We want to examine ourselves, that when we partake of the bread and cup this morning, that we believe and understand that we're taking the Passover, and by faith we are believing that that blood of the Lamb is going to protect us from that destroyer that's coming. We are not proclaiming some bean dream faith that we're not going to be here when the beast is here, but we're going to teach the real biblical faith that the destroyer is coming back, but that the blood of the Lamb is just as powerful today as it was in that first Passover, and that by faith in the blood of Jesus, we will defeat the destroyer. Whether it be, and you know the Bible says that they overcame by the word of the testimony and the blood of the Lamb, and they loved not their lives even unto the death. And if we seal our testimony with death, so be it. But the Lord will have a remnant that will bear witness to Him right until He comes to split those eastern skies. So we're going to examine ourselves. And that's what I would challenge anyone to do. Is your faith this morning the faith that was once delivered to the saints? Or is your faith, you see, the object, your faith is only good as the object of your faith. And if your faith is in a lie, it's not going to do you any good. And I want us to examine, and in verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And we not only need to examine ourselves this morning doctrinally, but we need to examine ourselves spiritually. Do you have aught in your heart against any? I hate every false way, but my heart breaks and grieves for those that are being deceived by lies. My heart is broken, and it's a strange mixture of heartbreak and anger at those that are being lost because they're believing lies. And whatever I could do this morning to encourage people to examine their faith and examine their hearts, I would do that. And we must look in our hearts for unforgiveness. Is there unforgiveness? Is there a root of bitterness in your heart this morning? Well, if so, psychology can't help you, but the cross of Christ can. You can die to that sin by faith in the cross this morning, and you can allow the blood of Jesus to wash you white as snow. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Is your mind being used to really examine and contend for the faith? You know, these are the things that we need to ask ourselves as we come before the Lord's table in these historic times. As we come within 48 hours of that blood moon, we need to examine ourselves this morning. We need to examine our faith. We need to examine our hearts. And Donna has a song prepared that we're going to take a few moments, and we're going to do that, and we're going to come right back after this song, and we are going to partake of the Lord's Supper together. And I want to say this too. You're never going to be good enough to be worthy to sit at the Lord's table, but it is by His grace. And if you've been a little rotten stinker this week, shame on you. But right now, just ask the Lord to forgive you. When He said, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He meant just that. And the grace of God is there for you. And that's the only way any of us are ever good enough to be worthy to sit at the Lord's table. It's with the grace of God and the shed blood of Christ that we apply to our hearts for forgiveness of sins. So let's examine ourselves for just a couple moments. And during this time, if you have anything, don't confess it to me, confess it to the Lord. Tell Him. He's the only one you need to tell this morning. He's your great high priest. He's the only mediator between you and the Father this morning. And I want you to tell Him those things that you need to tell Him this morning. And we're going to come back and we're going to partake this morning of the Passover together.
Oh!
forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning as we prepare to take our bread together this morning. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for each and every one that's come together this morning to have church and partake of the Passover together. Lord, we stand in uncertain times just like the early church did, of loss of property and even of life. But Lord, we look to you as that sure anchor of our faith. And this morning, Lord, we're looking to that body, that real body that died on the cross for our sins. We're looking to that death on the cross that you gave us as truly the way we receive everything in our lives. And Lord, we know that you freely want to give us all things, and that you want to give us joy and victory. And that joy and victory can be real through whatever we go through. So Lord, we just thank you for your body that you shed on the cross for us, the blood that was shed. And Lord, we partake of the bread this morning in faith of what you did for us. Let's partake of the bread this morning. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus, for that horrible suffering that you went through for us. For that real agony and pain you felt to give us salvation and forgiveness of sins. Thank you, Jesus. And we want to partake of the wine this morning. And Lord, as we do it in faith that this represents your blood that was shed on Calvary's cross for forgiveness of sins and cleansing of sin and protection from that evil one that's coming. And let us partake of the cup this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for that blood that was shed. We thank you for the presence of your Holy Ghost that we feel this very moment. Father, we just ask you to strengthen us all together this morning in the true faith and the true power of the Holy Spirit, that we bear witness for you in these last days, and that we truly endure unto the end. And we want to give you all the praise for that. We love you so much this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And I just want to close out this morning with the 37th Psalm. I want to read the 37th Psalm, a few verses here. and read along with me or listen to the word of the Lord. And after that, we're just going to, Donna has a couple more worship songs to just take a few more minutes to worship the Lord. But let's listen to the 37th Psalm. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. And we just want to once again this morning say how much we love and appreciate each and every one of you that has joined with us this morning to study His Word and worship the Lord. And we just want to close out with a prayer and some worship time that we can just spend with Him. So, Father, we thank You for this chance to be here this morning to lift up Your name. And Lord, as we approach this coming time, we do it not fearfully, but we do it with joy and faith in the true biblical faith that, Lord, Your blood can protect us from the destroyer that's coming, just like You did when He was here before. And Lord, we give You the praise for the victory that's in the cross. And Lord, we just ask this morning that You bless each and every one of those listening this morning. Bless them in their physical health. Bless them in their finances. Freely give them, by faith in the cross, everything they need to serve You in these last days. And Lord, we're going to give You the praise for everything good that comes from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's worship the Lord for just a few minutes, and we will see you next Sunday morning on FOJC Radio Church. God bless you all.
So easy, we're to stumble in this old world we're living in. While we say, go every day. So help me stand, Lord, the way you stood long ago. Help me stand by your grace and let the whole world hear my face and see the world where you can go. You have the Bible that you're able, Lord, to send. Lord, you should have the time to know. You're giving us the time, 'cause it's good for your name. So help me stand, Lord.
There is no other name.
every tongue proclaim and sing the name of Jesus. Magnify and praise the name of Jesus. No other name but Jesus. There's power in that precious name of Jesus.
For being a part of FOJC Radio Church. You can contact us at FOJC, Post Office Box 4174, Evansville, Indiana 47724-4174. Or you can call us at area code 812-473-3735. Or you can email us at lastdayschurch@cs.com. Or you can check out our website at www.ritualabusefree.org. That's all one word, ritualabusefree.org. That's RITUALABUSEFREE.org. And please remember to tune in next Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time. Thanks and God bless. The kingdom of God is here.